You may be seated, and if you would, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 19. But mothers, you're special, and today we honor you. So happy Mother's Day once again to all of you mothers. I know you can't say that enough. Amen. My mother's in heaven now. But my text today is John 19:25. My subject, the hand that rocks the cradle. The hand that rocks the cradle. John 19:25, look at the first part of this verse. Now that stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Now that stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. My subject, the hand that rocks the cradle. Let us pray. Father, we love you and praise you. And Lord, this is a special day that we recognize our mothers. And they are so special. And Father, you gave us mothers. So they are an expression of your love. And Lord, we just pray today that you will speak to hearts, Lord, to the people that have families, the people who will have families, and let them understand, Lord, especially to the women. I'm asking you to speak to them today that they will look into the Word of God and evaluate their lives and decide, does my life reflect in the home what this the Word of God has to say? So, Lord, at the same time we're going to honor our mothers, we honor you and the cross. We honor the blood and the precious gift, Father, that you've given us, a Savior. And we just thank you, Lord, for that anointing to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And, Lord, I just thank you for hiding me behind the cross. And I thank you for speaking through these lips of clay. Touch our hearts, touch our ears, save the lost, deliver those that are bound. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Mary, the mother of Jesus, she loved her son. She had given birth to him. She had reared him. She had carried him to the synagogue or to church. She had taught him the scriptures. She had seen his miracle working power. She had cared for him with the love that only a mother can do. And now as Jesus is hanging upon the cross, providing redemption for the whole world, Mary, his mother, stood by the cross. When Mary had given birth to Jesus, she was just a young girl in her teens. Now she is older. Her hair has begun to turn gray. Wrinkles have replaced that once youthful look. When they nailed Jesus to the cross and the black shadows began to gather, she knew that death was drawing nigh. So Mary hurried to the cross to stand by her firstborn child. She did not understand his life, and she did not understand his death. But in spite of all of this, she loved him with a mother's love that was so strong that while others fled and ran, the Bible says, now that stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Thank God for a mother's love. You know, a mother's love is so strong. And mothers, they are a gift from God. My mother's in heaven. But I tell you, she made such a profound impact upon my life. And mothers, you have such a tremendous responsibility to your family. You probably heard the saying, the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Well, that comes from a poem that was written in the 1800s by William Ross Wallace. I like poetry, and I like to share this particular poem with you. And it reads as follows, and I quote, "Blessings on the hand of women, angels guard its strength and grace. In the palace, cottage, hovel, oh, no matter where the place, would there never storm assail it, rainbows ever gently curl, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Woman, how divine your mission here upon our natal sod. Keep, oh, keep the young heart open, always to the breath of God. All the true trophies of the ages are from mother love and pearl, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Blessing on the hand of women, father's, son, and daughter's cry, and the sacred song is mingled with the worship in the sky. Mingle where no darkest tempest, rainbows evermore a hurl, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." I tell you, you have such a tremendous influence upon your children. Mothers are special, and they have a very special love. Mothers are special because motherhood, it is a symbol of God's abiding love. Motherhood is a symbol of God's abiding love. Her position in the home is to care for, to nurture, and to love her family. And God gave us mothers to remind us of his love for us. When I penned those words, I thought about the song, what the songwriter said. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else can take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. No one ever cared for me. Sing it. Like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. No one ever cared for us like Jesus, but God gave us mothers to remind us of his love and his care for us. It was God who established the family. And children, they are a gift from God. Mothers, you have a tremendous responsibility because children are a gift from God, and sometimes they can bring such joy and such happiness to you. I know you've seen that, you that reared children, but sometimes you just have to laugh through the tears. I want to share a few Mother's Day stories with you. I did these years ago in 2006, and I used children in the church as my example, and you will probably recognize many of these. I was hoping that Jonathan Tedder could be here because he reminded me, and I looked these up, he reminded me of my snake story that I told on him. But I'll just go through these. You'll recognize some of them. I'll just fill the name in for you. But Emily, you remember Emily. Emily, a beautiful young girl with blonde hair, a beautiful smile, and a winning personality. She was 19 years of age when she went to be with the Lord. She's in heaven now. She was only 4 years of age when she came to Westmoreland, and I became her pastor. Thank God for her mother, Lisa Hunter, who carried her to church and brought her up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You know, life has some crushing blows, but heaven's going to be wonderful. Think about it. No crying, no sighing, no dying, no more tears, but one glad reunion. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. But while we're down here, hallelujah, we can live that life. That's going to be a great reunion. We've all got loved ones over there. Think about it. We're going to see our families. We're going to be joined together with them. And we're going to see Jesus. I told somebody this morning, I said, I want my mansion on Holy Ghost Avenue. That's right next to Hallelujah Boulevard. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Heaven's going to be wonderful. Thank God for the blessed hope that we all have in heaven. And it's all because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I said I did these in 2006, and you know I'm not much of a joker. My mother told me, said, don't tell too many jokes, son. People take you wrong because you're so serious. But I'm going to give you a few of my jokes, okay? And I just put names on this. This wasn't really, but I think it describes these people some. And you're going to recognize some of these. Now, Emily, she was 8 years old, and she wrote, Mother, I'm going to make dinner for you on Mother's Day. It's going to be a surprise. P.S. I hope you like pizza and popcorn. Now, I like this one. Jonathan Tedder. Jonathan wrote, Mother, I got a snake for you on Mother's Day. I hope you like the snake better than the turtle I gave you last year. You know, mothers do get taken advantage of sometimes. Now, here's a good one. Donna Edwards. Donna wrote, Mother, I hope you like the flowers I got for you on Mother's Day. I picked them myself when Mrs. Smith wasn't looking. Now, here's one from my daughter, Jessica Nelson. Jessica, dear mother, here are two aspirins. Have a happy Mother's Day. I think I captured some of these young kids when they're old now. They got their own family, so I can still have some fun with them. Amen. But I like this one. A cartoon showed a little boy talking on the phone, and he said, Mama's in the hospital. The twins and Roxy and Billy and Sally and the dog and Dad and I at home all alone. That little boy missed his mother. Let me tell you something. In combat, I can remember men, strong Marines that would get wounded, and some of them, they were dying, and they would cry, "I want my mother. I want my mother." I'm going to tell you, mothers, you have a tremendous impact upon your children. There's no love, really, like a mother's love, except for the love of God, which is greater. But God gave us mothers, and mothers have a tough job, and they have a tremendous responsibility. And it's true, the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. You know, we live in such a materialistic world that if we aren't careful, we will lose sight of some of the most important values that there are. Parents, your responsibility with the Lord is more important than anything else in this world. Many of the ills in our society, they have been self-inflicted because of our desire for more and more and more material things. Things are not the most important things in life. Everybody needs some stuff, but things are not the most important things in life. Parents, your family, your home, your children are more important than a new house, a fine automobile, money in the bank, or your career. Amen. I've got children that are all married, got children of their own, and I've told them, I've said, now, your career is not the most important thing. Your career comes second to your relationship with your mate and to your home. And it's important that we keep a good balance in life. You know, we're to work and we're to have a good career. We're to be productive, and God will bless you when you put God first and he instituted the family. But children are heritage of the Lord, and they need godly values. They must be brought up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, which means they must be taught the Word of God. They need to be taken to church. Amen. I heard one preacher said that he had a drug habit. Said he was drugged to church when he was a child. Well, I was like that. Mother and Daddy carried me to church. Amen. When those doors opened, it was no question, are we going to church or not? I knew where this old boy was going. They were going to take me to church. I see some heads. Yeah. But, you know, God has blessed mothers with an awesome responsibility. That doesn't exempt the dad, but mothers have such a responsibility. And part of that is to teach their children the Word of God. Now, look at Deuteronomy 6 and 6. Look at this. God said, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart." In other words, you should read the Word. You should memorize the Word. You should hide the Word in your heart. But you should be a doer of the Word. If you read your Bible from page to page and don't do what the Word says, then the Bible says you have deceived your own self. Now, it says that they should be in your heart. Look at verse 7. "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up." In other words, God said, give the Word preeminence. Verse 8. "Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hands, and they shall be before thy eyes," on your forehead. You're to look at them and meditate on the Word. And mothers, your faith in Jesus Christ is the greatest gift that you could ever impart to a child. And they're watching you. They're watching the dad. They're watching the mom. And I know because I used to watch my mother and dad. Amen. And didn't you watch your parents when you were growing up? Little boys want to be like their dads. And little girls want to be like their mothers. Amen. I don't care what our culture says. They're just wrong, wrong, wrong. See, we live in a world of political correctness. In 21st century America, they have forgotten some time-honored values. And one of the reasons for this is because they want to be politically correct. But who are those who are politically correct? They've sought to corrupt everything that is sacred in our culture. Look at the news. They reject absolutes such as the Ten Commandments. They substitute their own version of what they call truth, which are subject to change without notice. But this word right here, it is forever settled in heaven. Hallelujah. Don't you know that? Go and praise God for the Word. Amen. Amen. And in this world of political correctness, these liberal elites, they attempt to speak for all women. They speak out for women's rights. They speak out on women's issues. But what women are they talking about? Are they talking about the millions of godly women sitting in the churches of America today? I don't think so. Are they talking about the women? I'll tell you who they're talking about. They're talking about women who advocate alternative lifestyles, lesbianism, abortion, gay rights, transgender, sex changes, and such foolishness as that. Ungodly. Godly women and ungodly women, they have absolutely nothing in common except for the fact that they're both women. So the church must not allow Hollywood, the news media, or the advocates of political correctness to redefine our values. We must stick to our biblical principles. Guard your thinking, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I just preached two sermons on guarding your thinking. You've got to think something before you can become it. And the world of political correctness, they're trying to get the wrong thinking into our children, into our culture. And mothers and daddies, you have a tremendous responsibility to bring your children up in the fear, the nurture, and the admonition of the Lord. You know, the writer of Proverbs, he had it right when he asked the question, who can find a virtuous woman? Look at Proverbs 31 and 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? I love this. For her price is far above rubies. Oh, she's precious. She's wonderful. She's a gift, a virtuous woman from God. A virtuous woman is a woman of moral purity. And the Bible says her price is far above rubies. Amen. If you've got one, you are blessed, and highly favored of God. If you're a man, look at the person beside you, and if you're here and your wife is looking, say, I've got one. Tell the person, I've got one, hallelujah, I'm blessed and highly favored of God. Amen. Now look at verse 11, Proverbs 31:11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so he shall have no need of spoils, or literally, he shall have no lack of grain. In other words, working together, they are going to prosper. They're going to church. They're going to serve God. They're going to put down the evil habits, things that would take and steal their monies from them. They're going to use their money wisely. They're going to tithe. They're going to give. And they're going to believe God for increase. And goodness and mercy is going to follow them all the days of their life. This man, he shall have no lack of gain. This woman, working together, hallelujah, they are going to prosper because the Bible says it. It says the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and it addeth no sorrow with it. Somebody go and praise the Lord because your hand is in the hand of the nail-scarred hand. His name is Jesus, and God is blessing you. A virtuous woman is a woman of great character. Her husband can trust her, and she satisfies his every need. I said she's something else. She satisfies his every need. Hallelujah. She takes care of her home, and she sees that things are done, and they're done in a proper order. If you are thinking you're this virtuous woman, I want you to listen to this, women, mothers, because you may have missed the mark somewhere. And you can read the Bible. You can go here and go there and teach this and teach that and be active in the church and miss the mark in your own home if you're not careful. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So don't listen to the world. Read your Bible, pray every day, and let the Holy Ghost guide you. And I promise you will be blessed. Look at verse 12. The virtuous woman, she will do him, her husband, good and not evil all the days of her life. See, the virtuous woman is a woman of lasting commitment. She's committed to God, to godliness, to holiness, to purity, to her husband, and to her family. Hallelujah. Look at verse 13. She's a worker. You may qualify in some of these areas and be deficient in the others. That's why we have the Word of God. To examine our own hearts. I have to examine mine. You have to examine yours. Proverbs 31:13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh diligently with her hands. She's a worker. This woman is a godly example of womanhood. And she is a person of diligence and hard work. I'm talking about the virtuous woman, the godly woman, the woman in Proverbs 31. She's a worker that looks after the affairs of her home. She takes care of her husband. I'll say that one again. Hallelujah. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. If you got one, tell somebody I'm blessed and highly favored of God. Amen. Hallelujah. She looks after the affairs of her home. She takes care of her husband. She takes care of her family. She takes care of everything there because God has given her responsibility. And all of these things, her husband, her children, and her home, they are her number one priority next to serving God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, this woman that I'm talking about, she's not out having an affair. She's not an immoral woman. She's at home. She's taking care of family priorities. I look at grandmothers, and, you know, I'm a granddaddy, and I try to keep my body in shape, and I'm working on it. But, you know, I'm not at the gym trying to, you know, bulk up and impress some young girl. I'm not interested in some young girl. I got a beautiful wife. I got a godly wife. I got a wonderful home. I'm pastor of a great church, and I've got some wonderful friends here. And we just found out someone that fell from grace. I'm praying for that person. It's such a terrible tragedy to happen like that. And we're in a world of sin, and where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. And we need to stay in this book. We need to stay connected to the church. We need to lift one another up in prayer. And when somebody falls, we need to be there to pick them up. Because the devil is a real devil that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Aren't you glad Jesus came and gave you the more abundant life? We get the more abundant life here and eternal life and heaven too. Glory to God. Look at verse 14, Proverbs 31, 14, talking about the virtuous woman. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. This woman is family oriented. She has a positive attitude, and she realizes the importance of her assignment. She's got a husband to take care of. She's got children, maybe grandchildren by now. But, you know, I tell my children, I'm not a mother, I'm a daddy. I said, whenever you go somewhere, I want to know where you're going. I want to know where you are and what you're doing. My prayers are following you. I'm concerned. As long as I'm on this planet and I got breath in my body, I will be concerned about my children. And mothers, think about a mother's love. Wow. There's no love like a mother's love on this earth. See, this woman is family-oriented. She understands the importance of her assignment. Because the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Look at Proverbs 31:20. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is virtuous. She is caring. She is committed. She is diligent. She has great compassion. You know, when I grew up, there were beggars that walked around. And I can remember my mother, and I'm sure some of you, you can go back in the culture we grew up in, and there were beggars would come by, and my mother would take and fix something for them and put the food and out on the back porch. I mean, we didn't know these people. We had gypsies in the area that you had to bring your clothes in. They'd steal the clothes off your line. But that didn't stop my mother from giving someone something to eat. That's the love of God. That's why we need to be connected to the church and connected to Jesus. Because mothers, they're just an expression of God's love. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hand to the needy. She's virtuous. She's caring. She's committed. She's diligent. She has great compassion. I can remember riding through neighborhoods growing up. You just have to excuse me. I'm talking about mothers, and I have one in heaven. And my mother had such a heart of compassion for people. And she would see maybe someone staggering down the road drunk or someone that was hurt. And she would say, that man, that young girl, they have a mother somewhere whose heart is broken. See, mothers love like that. You know, we men, we just tough and You know, the world would try to redefine us, but our brains don't work like mother's brain. God gave dads to be the provider. I know we have to work, you know, I'm not talking about two, it's all right for both people to work, but I'm talking about the structure and the order that God put there and the nature that God put us. Our brains are different, and God designed us that way. And so we got all this crazy stuff going on in this politically correct world, but don't let that fool you. Take the book out. Read about the virtuous woman. Read about the man and the family. It says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wives, submit yourself. Oh, we don't want that word in our culture, but it's the book. Submit yourself to your husband as unto the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. In other words, I read that one day. I mean, I'm going through a great struggle, and I read that, and I memorized it, but I saw it like I'd never seen it. Honor the, says, give honor unto your, Lord, let me think about it. I got so much scripture running through me here. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee. That it may be well with thee, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long upon the earth. And I'm sick, cut open, the doctors have operated on me. I said, well, God, I got a great promise from God. I said, but who wants to live long if it's not well with them? Thank you for healing me. Hallelujah. And here I stand, glory to God, full of energy, full of power, full of anointing, because of God's grace and God's mercy. And I had honored my parents, and I'd taken care of them. My daddy went home to be with the Lord, and my mother in 2008, but I was a caregiver to them, and I saw that everything was done. And I'm lying there, and I just took the word of God. I didn't have to look it up. I had hid it in my heart like this virtuous woman about that God told to teach your children. I had put it in my heart, and I just looked up, and I said, God, thank you for healing me. I honored my parents. He didn't give me a promise other than I read it, but he told me in 1995 I wasn't sick. He said, I'm the Lord thy God that healeth thee. I laughed. I didn't need healing. I'm full of strength. I laughed. I said, why would you talk to me like that? 10 years later, I knew why. Hallelujah. But I had a promise from God. Get in church. Honor your parents. Love your mother. Parents, love one another. God gave you a home. Relight the flame. Hallelujah. I'm taking my wife on a date. We're going on for 2 whole weeks. Hallelujah. We're going to spend some time together. And I take her on dates. Sometimes the things are just, you know, relight the flame. You know, the world try to, you know, if you look at a pretty woman, you know, she just comes down like this and wiggling all over. That looks sort of like a serpent, doesn't it? You know I'm preaching truth. Tell you what. You got to guard your thinking. Flesh is flesh. I don't care whose bones you put it on. And you better spend some time in this book. And you better spend some time in prayer. Because we live in a corrupt world. And we need godly values. And we need to rear our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And we need to love our families. And we don't need to be lacked in any area. I need to love my children. I hope you know I love you. I try to let her know at times. I give her little special gifts. Amen. And I do it for all of my children. But I want my wife to know I love her. And I'll ask her sometime. You know that commercial on TV? Now, I'm going to preach a little while because we're not having service tonight. That commercial, the man's working with his dad, and he says, what'd you say, huh? He said, I love you, Dad. Well, he gets him some hearing aids, and his son says, I love you, Dad. He said, what'd you say? He said, I love you, Dad. He said, I heard you the first time. I just wanted to hear you say it again. Now, if that man... Come here, sweetheart. Come here, come here, come here, come here, come here, Teresa. If that man wanted to hear his son say, I love you, Dad, how much more do you think your husband... Now, we have a little... You know, I like that commercial, so we play this little game. And I said, I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
I love you, darling.
I heard you the first time.
I know you did.
I just wanted to hear it again. Hallelujah. Relight the flame. Your family is so important. You know, this is pastoral this morning. I'm just talking out of my heart to people. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at verse 30. Well, look at verse 28 first. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also. Does your husband think that about you? Are you treating him so nicely that he thinks that about you? Husband, are you treating your wife so nicely that she thinks that about you? Are you doing everything you can to see that your home is safe and secure? See, I had a daddy, and I watched him. And when I was in the world of sin, I didn't understand those values. When I gave my heart to Jesus, I began to see, you had a godly daddy. You had a written epistle before you, son. That's the way a man should live his life right there. And I started honoring my wife and the word of God after I got saved. Proverbs 31:28. Her husband and her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. She's so full of wisdom because she realizes that you are to be good to your husband, and that if you have a husband that God has given you, that you should be good to him. See, I'm giving my wife some real wisdom right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Proverbs 31:30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. One day it was something she wanted, and the Lord spoke to me. And I didn't want to let the money go to do it at that time. I'll just be honest with you. But Teresa's learned a lot of things. I told her, I said, Teresa, I've come to the place in life that if you say I want something, like she told me, I want this post, this white post. I want it painted white, and I want this bird feeder right here on top of it. I said, Teresa, that bird feeder is already in the backyard. I see it. Because once she sees things and she starts saying that, I know that she's going to keep on until I do it. Oh, should you? Amen. Can I get a good amen from some of those men out there? But she's the virtuous woman. Give her of the fruit of her hands. She's been good to you, so give to her. And let her work praise her in the gates. Young women, listen to me. Every man wants a woman of value. Someone he can trust. Someone he can depend on. Because the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. You know, I'm so thankful for my Christian heritage. You may see yourself in here. My mother and my dad, they were spirit-filled Christians when I was conceived. And when I was born, they carried me to church. Thank God for my mother's and my dad's faith. That faith that they had, it now lives in my heart. I had them lay hands on me after I got saved. I don't know where I got that from. The Holy Ghost must have told me, because I just bowed before them. I said, I've watched you all my life. You have gifts from God. I'm going to kneel before you. I want you to lay your hands on me and impart those gifts to me. And they did. See, but I couldn't live forever off my mother and dad's faith. They carried me to church. They taught me the scriptures. And their Christian influence, it affected me. It is true. The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. It's wonderful, you know, to have a godly heritage and to see a life of faith lived out before you. And I heard them pray for me. I heard them call my name in prayer. When I was sick, they would pray for me and God would heal me. I saw their good times. I saw their bad time. But through it all, I saw that they learned to trust in Jesus. They learned to trust in God. And it affected me. And because of their godly example, where are your children today? How are they living? If they've seen a godly example in you, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Oh, I was wild. You know, I sowed my wild oats. I went out into the world. I went into the United States Marine Corps, and I went into a war zone. And all of that, you know, was affecting me. I wasn't in church. I came home from Vietnam, and for 17 years, I struggled with war trauma. And in my darkest hour, I went into my apartment, and I prayed. I said, God, I know you're real, and I know you're there, and I need help. For the first time, I admitted to myself, there is something I cannot fix. I've worked on this thing every way I know how. I cannot fix it. And God, I need help. I know you're real, and I know you're there. And God and I had a conversation that night, and the next day I went to church, and I got saved real good. Hallelujah. Amen, I tell you. You know, perhaps you didn't have a home like that. Perhaps you didn't grow up in a godly home. Well, you know, start where you are. And give your heart to Jesus and say, I'm going to get me, if you're a young man, say, I'm going to get me a godly wife, and I'm going to have a home like that. And if you're a woman, then marry a godly man. Don't get unequally yoked. Don't get your life all messed up. Get somebody that loves your God. What fellowship hath light with darkness, Christ with Belial of unrighteousness with righteousness? None at all. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Get you somebody that loves your God. And if you're married to somebody that's not a believer, then pray for them and tell the devil, that's my husband, that's my wife. You're not having them. You'll have to come through the blood of Jesus, and you'll have to come through me before you ever get them. But I'm not going to let you have my mate. Hallelujah. I'm going to love God, and I'm going to have that godly home. Get your priorities in order. Think right. Don't listen to the world. Don't look at all those soap operas and the wild and the restless or whoever they are. Hallelujah. Get into the book. Get into the book. Glory to God. And become a person of value, a person of worth, a person that loves God, a person that loves your family, and live the life before them. Hallelujah. You know, most of you heard the saying that God doesn't have any grandchildren. What does that mean? Well, what it means is this. Just because your mother, your daddy is a Christian, that does not automatically make you a Christian. You must be born again. And the path to God is Jesus Christ. Look at Acts 4 and 12. Peter said, neither is there salvation in none other, any other. For there is none other name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved. And look at John 14 and 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We've got people saying that there are many ways to God. No, there's only one way to God. And Jesus said, I am the way. You know, a missionary told this story about being lost in the African jungle. And finally, after wandering for days, he came across a primitive village. And he found a native there who could speak English. And the native volunteered to take him back to the missionary's compound. They had to hack their way through the jungle because there was no path. You ever been in a jungle before? You got to take a machete and you got to hack your way through it. I mean, you got to make a path through that place to get through there. They had to hack their way through the jungle because there was no path. And the missionary finally asked the native, are you sure this is the right path home? And the native replied, sir, in this jungle, there is no path. I am the path, and you must follow me. Well, Jesus is the path in the jungle of life, and he is the only path home. He is the only path to heaven, and you must follow Jesus. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Oh, how much he cared for you. Glory. Go and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Mothers, I want to challenge you. If you have children and grandchildren, make every effort to take them to church and teach them the Word of God. Be a written epistle, a written Bible before them. That doesn't exempt the fathers from their responsibility in training up their children. But mothers, even if there's no one else there to help you, if you're a single mom, be faithful, because the future of your family and the future of this great nation, it is dependent upon you. It's true. The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Mary was a young virgin when she was chosen to be the mother of Jesus. She gave birth to God's Son, a young virgin, someone that God knew he could trust. Can God trust you? Can he trust you with children? Can he trust you to do right by your family? Can he trust you, men? Can he trust you, children? God is looking for faith. Look at this, Luke 1 and 30. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also this holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Mary said, How can this be, seeing I know not a man? How? I'll tell you how. The Holy Ghost, that's how. Mothers, you're special. Happy Mother's Day. It's true. The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Perhaps you're here today and you've never been saved, but you want to be saved. Perhaps you were saved and you wandered off from the Lord, wandered far away from God. You may be thinking, how? How can I be saved when I've gone so far out in sin? How could God ever forgive me? How? I can tell you how. The Holy Ghost, that's how. The Holy Ghost has been speaking to hearts ever since I started preaching this message, even in the song service. And he's been talking to you, and he's been calling your name. That's how he works. Hallelujah. And think about it. No one can ever come to the cross. No one can receive salvation unless the Holy Ghost overshadows you with conviction power. People say, oh, I get saved when I want to. No, you won't. Let me help you. You will get saved when you hear the voice of God, the Holy Ghost, calling to you. And he's calling today, softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come now? Won't you come? Won't you come and give your heart to Jesus? Won't you come and say, Lord, I've got brokenness in my life. Lord, I need help. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is Mother's Day, but this could be the greatest day in your life when you give your heart to Jesus. Well, come back to the cross.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? All will see how great is our God.
Hallelujah, he's a great God.
How great is our God? Oh, sing with me, how. great is our God.
Hallelujah. Glory. Holy Ghost, do your work. Please stay in the sanctuary. Sing it, brother. Let the Holy Ghost, let him touch hearts. Let him do the work that only he can do.
Oh, praise.
Praise, saints of God, praise.
My heart will sing, how great is our God.